But we do what we had to do. Oh, Caroline, you blew a fuse. I make amends, you make them too. And I realize what life to choose. I live alone, what could I do? The money went, and you did too. And I realize what life to choose. And I still feel safe. And I know what you'd say. I can't commit to anything. I'm way too settled down. I won't let go of anything that doesn't stick around. And I will pray.
Good morning and welcome to episode 220 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for stopping by. Actually not too much time today. Obviously, it is Wednesday, and I want to get a show out to you guys, so, that's what you're getting. Just before we start, to get in contact with the show, go to, Twitter, and catch me at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The Facebook group is Taking the Charge Podcast, and, come on in, join the group. The website is heinnews.com. You can go to YouTube and check out some videos I'm doing. YouTube, just put Hein News in there and you'll get to my channel. Website, heinnews.com. Email address is heinnews@gmx.de. Go to iTunes, rate and review the show. And you can support the show. Go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. And you can support the show. Show some love. Keep the show going. It costs money to do this show, and just every little bit might help. So please, if you would, drop a couple bucks. To make sure this thing keeps going. Not next week or the weekend, week after that. Actually, it's in 2 weeks. The U18 European Championship. The next 2 weeks I will be here in Regensburg still, but then it looks like one show I will actually be in Samsun, Turkey. That's the 21st, December 21st show. So that's where you're going to. I will be going there. So don't be surprised if there's a little bit of stuff beforehand. I'm not sure exactly what I have. Getting some stuff in, doing a lot of different reporting. Basquetball going on right now. Yeah, you're starting to see rosters going for the under 18s. And it looks like mainly the guy, other than the guys in the States, you're going to get most of them. Obviously the college guys aren't going to be there, but Bosnia looks like maybe even Musa and Shikiras and Champara might come for Bosnia. Obviously that's going to be cool. They're going to try to shoot for the under 19s, be two times in a row that they make it to the world championship. They were under 17s this year, this past summer. Italy looks like they're going to bring almost everybody that they wanted, even Davide Moretti, which is pretty cool for them. Germany, I don't know. Don't know if Hartens, I mean, obviously Freudenberg's not going to come. Don't know if Hartenstein and if Mushidi are going to come. Bonga, don't know if Bonga's going to come. He hasn't really been playing BBL minutes, so that might make him available. Turkey looks like they're going to have, Umar Al, Batim, Actually, I don't remember if Duran was on there or not. Mustafa. So, you know, we're starting to see Shakiris Sedekeris, the Lithuanian. Where is he? I think he's in Vitoria. He won't be coming, looks like. Saw that Jonathan Givoni at Draft Express tweeted out that Frank Ntilikina is going to be coming for France. France will not have, obviously won't have Jalen Hoard, who's playing high school in the States. But they could have a pretty good group. Looks like Pons is on that roster. You know, pretty decent 98. And then the really nice 99s. Save for the Jalen Hoard. So starting the rosters are kind of starting to come. Looks like Rodion's Kuros, the Latvian. He's been able to come back to the court, but I think it's going to be too early. I also think it's going to be too early for Alexander Anitovic, who believe he's going to be coming back to the court after his ACL injury. I think he's coming back this week. He's hoping to come back this week. So interesting stuff now, seeing what these countries are going to be able to bring in. You know, everybody was thinking, oh, God, what are we going to do now? But it seems like most of the guys are going to be there. So it should be still a pretty good tournament. So really looking forward to that. All right. So, yeah, like I said, don't have too much time. So I'm just going to kind of run into the interview. I actually did a column for FIBA on this 2 weeks ago. And it's about the timeout project that the FIBA Europe has FIBA/FIBA has come up with alongside of the European Union Erasmus Plus program, and this is for players, European players who are sort of on the latter days of their careers and kind of starting to help them prepare for life after basketball as a professional, general managers, officials in the federations. You look at Rasul Nesterovic, who believe he's general secretary general, whatever of Slovenian. There's Kirilenko is the president. I think Hayden Turkoglu is CEO. CEO or president of the Turkish Federation. This is kind of a program to help some of those guys to get into that next step. The project is run by two former women's basketball excellent star players. First of all, you have Radmila Turner, who went to the Olympics in 98, went to two world championships for Bulgaria. She's the project supervisor, and then the project manager is Elizabeth Cebrian of Spain, and she went to the Olympics twice, three times went to the world championship, and also was the 1993 European Championship for women with Spain. So these are two people involved who are running the project. I will let them explain the project. Enjoy, and we will catch you on the other side. All right. So on the show this week, tag team interview. We have Radmila Turner, project supervisor of the Timeout project, and we have Elizabeth Cebrian, the project manager of Timeout Project. Both of these wonderful women work for FIBA Europe and are the leaders of this project. Radmila and Elizabeth, thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, Dave. We're happy to be on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
And Radmila is actually a second-time person on the show. She's actually way back in episode 107, talking about youth competitions and medical care.
Yes.
Way back when. All right. So the reason why I reached out to you guys was the FIBA Europe announced in late September a new timeout project, which basically has the goal of assisting players close to their retirement or recently retired, basically helping them, assisting them into more careers for staying within basketball and going into various career aspects. This project is a pretty intensive academic, business, training project, and it's received funding from the European Union, and has a couple of different aspects to it. I guess maybe just first of all, and so Elizabeth is responsible for more of the organization of it, and Radmila is more on the academic side. However you guys want to break it down, you guys could talk about it, you know, amongst yourself, you know, but maybe just give us a couple of the real, you know, focus points on it, and then we'll kind of delve a little deeper into it and then ask some more questions. So basically kind of explain timeout in the release. The release says the empowerment of basketball players through a sustainable dual career and a good governance training supporting program. So why don't you go with that and just kind of tell us a little bit about the timeout project.
I just would like to start. Basically, the goal of our project is dual careers. It's something that we have to address, particularly with regards to players who commit to basketball for a number of years. And even though in many cases they have some reasonable education, by the time they decide to stop playing basketball around the ages 30, 35, then of course this education is not necessarily up to date. The world has changed and they often are not prepared to enter the market and to really get a reasonable job. This has been identified in the European Union as a big issue in the last couple of years in particular, not just in basketball, but in a number of other sports. And we really found this opportunity as very exciting for us to try to almost like pilot through this project a program that we would like to develop for the future with the assistance of various academic partners and also with FIBA HQ, the International Basketball Foundation, and of course, through the Players Commission at FIBA, where we can potentially build something really sustainable as support system for our players. I'll pass over to Betty, who can explain a little bit more about the European Union vision on that and why we decided to go for this project, and then we can carry on.
Yeah, well, you explained it very well. In the European Union, there is a program called Erasmus Plus Sport. And in this project or in this program, you have different pillars, you know, that the European Union wants to address. And as Radmila said, dual career is for sure one of the biggest pillars that they would like to touch. And they are really happy to have projects linked to dual athletes, dual careers. And also when we discussed internally what project could fit in our organization, this was also one, the first one that came into our minds. And we just start to, well, get in touch with different options and partners and universities. And the first one that came into our mind was Newcastle, first of all, because we know that they have experience with dual career programs with other sports. And they were the number one business school in the UK. So it was really fast decision. And then we really have a very great relationship and great partner with us, so that makes our life really easy, and they really adjusted to our needs. So that's why it came everything really fast and productive. Mm-hmm. So that's why we just built the program, and we presented to the European Union. It was a hard work because this mm-hmm. project, as I mentioned, also it's very important that these projects are gender equal. They touch the gender equal. they are sustainable, and they that you provide a legacy. You know, all these kind of things that for the European Union are really key points for the if you submit a project. So we were really trying to touch all these different parts of the program, and at the end we submitted and they approved. So we were really excited and happy, because it's the first time that FIBA or FIBA Europe are sending and being the coordinator of this big project. And well, now we have the funding, and we need to start with the implementation of the project. That's the moment where we are right now. We are now, we obviously we informed to all the federation that we get this project and that we will run it together with them. As Radmila mentioned, we have to work with our federation. So that's why we opened the door to all the national federations members that we have, and the maximum amount of players that we can have in this project is 80, trying to have 50% of female players and 50% of male players. So now we are in this process that the federations has been informed, and we are now just trying to help them in the selection criteria. They are coming to us with questions, and so we are, and it looks good, because the people start to think about this. It's the first time the federations, the member of the national federation, they need to think about possible players that they would like to have involved in their structures in the future, and trying to find these leaders in their teams, no? So it's really exciting. It's 2 years project, the project, and this is how it will work.
So the three institutions that are going to be involved then are then Northumbria University in Newcastle, the University of Physical Education in Budapest, and then TAS, the Talent Athlete Scholarship Scheme in the UK. Obviously, it's pretty clear. You mentioned that Northumbria is one of the best in all of Europe, top business program in the UK. And you know, they're going to be, you know, the players selected are going to be, let's say, drilled in basically every, you know, all various business aspects. And I think, you know, I think people could probably get a good idea of maybe what that would involve. But as far as the University of Physical Education in Budapest and TAS, maybe talk a little bit about, because that might be a little bit unclear what the involvement of those organizations are. What kind of traits, characteristics are those organizations going to give the players?
Well, first of all, just to explain how the education will work, because the players, some of them are still active or are already busy with teams, so they're connected to other basketball programs still in different roles. Most of the education or the education via seminars or meetings will take place during the summer months, particularly June and July, over weekly long seminars. The rest of the time, they will be educated online, of course, with the direct contact with various tutors and through research. So just to explain the role of the partners, these are the three academic partners that you just named. In addition to them, of course, we also have federations that are our partners, and they also have a role in the education and preparation of the players. And that also includes the International Basketball Foundation of FIBA, that through their resources, we also ensure partly the education and also sustainability of the project. So basically, the Northumbria Business School will provide the business education, leadership and management. And we just came up with a very fruitful meetings with them last week, where we negotiated some excellent additional benefits to the students. In particular, they will have also injected in this course, if I can put it in that way, a little bit of entrepreneurship, a little bit of a specific program and tutoring on starting your own business, etc., etc. Because, of course, currently the world is very business orientated, and every modern manager and leader of a sporting organization should be competent of the business side of things, the business operations. The other academic partner, the University of Physical Education of Budapest, is our research partner. When you have an academic program, it's extremely important to use the opportunity to do research. And my personal role here in FIBA Europe is development of national federations in sport. And of course, it's a fantastic opportunity for us in the next 2 years to undertake a very, very detailed and deep research using our students. And obviously, this will be part of their education when they can bring to us information that we can assess and publish, which can help us in turn of developing our own programs. The University of Budapest, they have been our research partners already over a period of 3, 4, 5 years. We have done with them particularly two very interesting studies. One is the recent one, most recent one is about the dropout in women's basketball, and previously a study related to youth basketball. So we do work with them, and we know that they're excellent in that. So this will be particularly their role, the research role. The TAS, which is TAS, is the actual qualification. They are the experts of dual careers in Europe, and they're actually probably the prototype of this big movement, I would say, in dual careers that is currently taking place across the board. Guy Taylor, who is in charge of this program, and I know him for over 15 years when I first started in the UK to develop this program. He is very closely involved in the European Union with this program. So the qualification that have developed over a number of years is excellent as far as preparing the players to be mentors, to be life coaches, to support athletes, not just basketball players, but athletes in general, of how to manage their time, how to manage their studies, where to find suitable information, how to think about their future, post their sporting career. So we feel that this getting this extra qualification for a group of players will be extremely beneficial, firstly for them themselves, secondly for their national federations and the region, the area that they work in, and potentially they will be our ambassadors who will spread the knowledge that we develop through the FIBA in general, through the Players Commission and the Players Hub. So we feel very excited that this three-tier education really can not only provide opportunity to train these 80 people, but will provide opportunity to reach out to a few thousands and a lot more in future.
Deadline to submit from the Federation players' names is basically the end of the year. The 80 players, up to 80 players, will be announced in March. Whole thing kicks off in June with the first workshop then in Newcastle. And right now you have planned the third workshop, final assessment, graduation ceremony in Budapest at the end of August 2018. So starting June 2017, August 2018, looks like a 14-month program. Is that going to more? Is the plan to keep it about that length, to make it shorter, to make it a little bit longer? I mean, obviously, anytime you start a new project, you know, things, you know, don't always happen, you know, in a timely fashion that you wish. And I heard earlier mention, you know, it's a 2-year program. Is the program going to be extended out to 2 years of actual, let's call it training or assistance learning? Or is it going to be try to compress down to a one-year program? Or is that just kind of, you know, let's just figure out what's going to happen now in this first project and then go from there?
Okay, the maximum length that you can have in a Erasmus project is 2 years. That's why this is the maximum that we took. Obviously, these 2 years includes also all the selection criteria,
okay,
all the interviews.
That's included in the 2 years then.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but you are right that the academic part where the players are going to be involved directly is going to start actually Newcastle. We will have a small seminar in the final round of the Eurobasket Women in Prague, where we will meet all together and try to get to each other. So it's going to be more like a seminar. We call it not a workshop, because it's just to present and launch the project to the media. So this is going to take place in Prague in the final round. But the first workshop, really, where the players need to work hard, is going to be Newcastle. And then they will jump to the winter season with online and distance learning. And then again, in 2018, the two last workshops and the final dissertation in Budapest. So this is, as you mentioned, for them is around 14 months of studying.
And that's really planned to keep it that way.
Well, actually, the project is only unique because it's, you only can do it right now. We don't know if the European Union will, maybe if we present other projects linked to this one, and we can build another linked project. But for the moment, it's only 2 years.
But it's just one thing to add from the academic side here. It's obviously when you work with European Union or other various agencies or governance agencies funding, you have to really stick to the rules as far as length, etc., reporting. So you are not as flexible as opening the program exactly the way you want sometimes. But for us, this is a great opportunity to test how it works, because on the academic side of things, as we say, we have Northumbria with their online platform education, and simultaneously we have our own FIBA platform when they will actually follow up in their own time, because they're busy people, the FIBA manager qualification. However, because we agreed with the Northumbria University the possibility for the students that want to carry on to a higher degree, potentially to have scholarships either through them or support, some of them may decide to carry on to a high qualification post the end of this project. Others we may support in a different way with work placements. So for us, this is also a talent identification pool, so to speak, to see which people have what interest and then to support them beyond the project. But what will help us also in this 14 months or 18 months is to see, is this doable? Do we need to improve or maybe change and adjust a few things? So for the future, when we carry on with the next group potentially, that may not be necessarily Erasmus Plus funding, then we can see, what is the most effective way of running similar education for the future players. So it is a learning curve as well. We know it's an excellent education. It's been tested before, but it's like everything else. We have to see when the players go through it, get their own feedback, and then maybe adjust a few things in due course.
So right now, it's a one-time thing. So 80 players are going to – it's obviously hope that something similar or whatever, that even Erasmus Plus, will say, okay, you guys were wildly successful, and here's another – whatever costs, whatever funding that they give. But as of right now, it's a one-time deal. And, if you're interested in it, you better do it now, because you don't know if you're going to get this
exactly
later.
Because it's no guarantee that it will be in the same shape and form as a dual career or a combination of such a high-level degree that normally costs £7,000-£9,000 a year just the studying. Here, the students get it practically for nothing. It's supported through the Erasmus Plus. So it's a great opportunity to actually tap into good educational resource and get qualification supported by FIBA and the European Union.
The 80 players is basically that's the number of players, the number of students that can be covered by the funds that the European Union is
that's the maximum number, yes.
Okay, and there's a full commitment to get to that 80 players, because you said up to 80 players. You definitely want to get to that 80 players, I assume. And the selection process, the national federations have been sent letters in their. And it's basically their job now to look through their, let's call them, aging players, and finding out who they think could maybe who would most benefit from this type of project, who could also then maybe even benefit the National Federation itself.
Exactly.
itself as well. Is there are they? Can they come to you and say, hey, we have like these three players and we can't really figure out exactly, which one might be the best suited? Is that something that could happen, or is even happening that they're, say you know what these players are going to learn, and this, and these are the backgrounds of these players, and these are what these players maybe intend to do. Which would you suggest? Is that something that's going on?
Yes, I mean, I will just start and then Betty will continue. Basically, we have planned Skype interviews with every player after the closing date. Initially, the federations have been asked when they submit the nominations of players to, of course, also state clearly and provide a justification of what is their current education, the highest level. Is it a high school diploma, bachelor's degree, or a master's? Some of them are already with master's degree of some kind. And then, of course, their level of English. And the Skype interviews are because we would like to talk to them. We are also former players, so it's players talking to players. Also, checking with them what they want to get out of this. What is their plan for their future career? Would they like to work more on a technical level as managers, or would they aim more to work in the direction of media, marketing, etc., or as player development managers? So there are various possibilities, and then depending on these interviews, and obviously in this way, while talking to them, we can also see also their level of English to a point, but I think it's mainly then we can create groups, so to speak, of people that we feel can go more in the business direction or go more in the basketball specific event organization direction, etc., and then tailor the courses, especially the seminars, accordingly for them to get the maximum out of it. As far as nominating more people, they can nominate extra people, including in a form of reserve, because, of course, there is plenty of time until the beginning of the course, and anything can happen in a person's private life. So it is a possibility. Some federations, of course, may have an issue exactly with this, to have a few players who want to do it. They're all good candidates, and they're put in a difficult political position to choose. So they have an opportunity to nominate a couple of extra, but, of course, we would like the gender equality to be met. So in ideal scenario, not to have three girls and no boy, and the opposite, not to have just guys and no female player at all. It has to be, at least the attempt has to be, to have both genders represented, because this is how our sport is, and we're very proud of that, that our sport is played by both male and female, and this has to be reflected. So, Betty.
Yeah, basically now we are in this moment where the federation, you have to understand that this is a two-part, you know. The federation has to detect these possible candidates, but then these candidates has to agree. And, you know, as a player, you all only did one thing in your life, which was score points on the court, you know? So mm-hmm. actually, basically, they don't know what they want to do in the future. They, for sure, maybe they will know that they want to be linked to basketball, you know? But actually, because they never did anything else, they don't know if they want to, they would like to be a coach or go to the more to the management part. So now, to put some examples, for example, Anne Wouters from Belgium, contact us with this, and she say, okay, everything what is linked to basket, I like it, but I don't know if I'm going to be a good manager, or maybe I'm a good coach, because I never mm-hmm. did tried this before. So, but for sure, there is a kind of sensibility or a wish to be linked to basketball. So this is the important point here, that these people are really interested to be to keep their life linked to basketball. So that's a little bit now the moment that the federation is one part that they need to select and detect these players, and the other part is that the player has to have the wish to participate.
Yes, and we feel that it's a win-win situation. Basically, it's a unique program. It will strengthen the federations in general, but I think basketball in each country, by having at least two people well prepared with the latest FIBA educational tools. We now have changed a lot of things with various demands and improvements regarding the World Cup qualifiers, which start next November with the new calendar. There are a lot of workshops going around at the moment, trying to update people with this knowledge, and we're going to give these students the complete set of knowledge, including our top experts in marketing, communications, in events, in competitions. We'll actually talk to them directly. And on the other side, of course, I'll have the opportunity to learn from some of the best business experts and teachers to prepare them also on the business side of things. So for sure, people who supported and given these tools, if you like, in addition to their fame as players, should be beneficial to every organization. We just want our sport to grow. And the sport will grow if people who represent us, who work in our sport, are knowledgeable, are well prepared, and are motivated to actually work in, for basketball.
Remind me really quick how many national federations Europe, FIBA Europe has?
50.
And so everybody can, all of the federations can nominate one male, one female. So
yes.
Basically, you have, you have for sure, let's say for sure everybody does at least one of each. You have 100, you have 50 and 50. So you have a selection criteria already.
If we have a 100, of course we'll cover 100. In our experience, because small countries, etc.
If you have 100, then what? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Then we'll cover 100.
We'll adjust the budget a little bit.
We'll adjust the budget, we'll cover 100. In general, we plan for 80 because in our experience, many countries are unable to nominate so many players because they're too small. They don't have necessarily professional or elite players. And in some countries, the English language is a hurdle. But of course, if they want to be international managers, qualified English is the language to be there. So in our experience, it's rare to have really 100% participation from every single
that
country.
That all 50 are going to nominate a male and a female player.
Yes, yeah, but we are able to cater for 100 if 100 apply, that's for sure. So this is, all federations are invited, all federations are, of course, able to nominate, and we hope they will. And then, of course, checking the qualifications, because as you know, to enroll in a university education, you really have to have the necessary documents and at least qualifications or a basic educational level, including some English. So I think when we go through this process between January and March, then and interviews with the nominees, then we'll make the final decisions of, you know, people who can qualify for the project.
Where was I going to go? If you want to take part in this project, let's say you don't get, for whatever reason you don't get to that number, will there be an announcement at all to play to the player pool, or is it former national team player pool, whatever, saying that there's a selected number of positions available, or if you only have 78, you're just going to go with 78, or that only come from the federations?
Well, we will send reminders, and now we only did one press release. Now we will announce another one explaining the federation that the registration is already open, that they can start send candidates. And we will send to the federation, obviously, couple of reminders, as it works here always. You have to send reminders. And also, obviously, we have some players contacting us because they read it in the media directly, and then we always inform them that they need to get in touch with their national federation. But I don't see problem because actually we have already a lot of players who are contacting and asking questions, and so I don't see, I think we can manage this number.
Yes, if we feel at the end of the closing date, so to speak, and reviewing the documents, that we have available places up to 80 initially, and there are possibly candidates out there who can qualify, then for sure we are going to inform the federations and the player community out there, including giving a new deadline when they can actually contact us directly and enroll on the course. They will have to meet the criteria, of course, of being European elite players in their own country or some of the top leagues. And of course, meeting all the other criteria such as language and basic qualifications. But of course, the initial process is going through the National Federation, expressing an interest, and then the National Federation can always talk to us and tell us if they have a couple of extra candidates that we can consider. This is always the best way because the whole idea is to strengthen basketball in particular countries. So we would like to really make sure that they work well in partnership.
It's a great idea. I mean, like you, when you were describing it, you said, okay, even if you have a college education, even if you have a master's degree, if you've played, you know, You know, if you've played 8 years, you've played 10 years, 12 years, then that master's degree is 8, 10, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And
you're behind in marketing, in business developments, in all these new
technologies. And you haven't been keeping up with that as a player because you've been playing.
Yes, exactly. You've seen the sport from the other side, and we'll emphasize a lot on their leadership and management skills, because as a player, you are a leader often on court and sometimes with a group of peers. But from the organizational point of view, you are used to be taken care of a whole bunch of people that run around there and basically take care of all the needs that the players have just to perform. But as soon as you finish and you go on the other side, you really have to learn what it takes to work on the other side and take care of the athletes and support them on and off the court. And these are the skills that we would like to build in them, including how to talk to the media, how to talk to, if you like, political organizations, how to talk to potential sponsors and partners. This is very important to build these skills, and together with the specific basketball knowledge that really will be the most modern, the top in the last year. So it's extremely important to really give the support to these people at all levels to improve themselves.
And what area of individuals did the most interest come from that this kind of project should be started? You mentioned, Benny mentioned that Ann Waters had come to you guys and said, you know, I'm not exactly sure, you know, which of these couple areas that I could do. You know, there's Erasmus who's actually, you know, funding it, you know, and if they saw that it was a problem, if it was more FIBA who said, you know, because I know the player commission was just formed a few months ago. Where did the biggest push for this kind of project come from? Was it more the players, the commission, or more the political bodies in Europe?
I would say that when you kind of get involved with a program such as Erasmus Plus, you have to really study what are the highlights and the important subjects or topics that are at the moment, if you like, important to the European Union as well. Firstly, we are trying to do something for the players for a long time, but of course it takes a while because we feel that there is a big distance between what we do here in the offices and the players out there. Okay, Ann Wouters and similar players are exception because we communicate with them often, we see them in the EuroLeague Women, etc., but there are so many thousands of players out there that we do not reach. So we always wanted to do something. But in the European Union, dual careers is probably the top focus in the last year or two. And they realize that it's not enough care for the athletes. And they really are pushing this subject. And we felt, okay, looking at the potential projects that we could do, we felt this really is a fantastic opportunity for us to finally strengthen what we are trying to do with this project. So we really jumped on it very quickly because we felt that this addresses very much our needs and the needs of the players, who often feel, well, FIBA is out there, is too far away to pick up the phone and ask a question. So they really are a little bit lost, and with the exception of a few agents here and there, they really don't necessarily have the support and the answers for these questions. So we just felt it's a great opportunity for something that we're trying to do together with the Players Commission. And on the other hand, the feedback that we have for players themselves over the years, and we just kind of connected the two dots.
Hmm. And adding to this, another key area that the European Union is really pushing is the good governance, good governance. And actually, with our project, we are touching indirectly also the good governance, because we would like to strengthening our federations also, you know, mm-hmm. So that's why it was actually, we touched with this project two of the very important areas that the Erasmus Plus sport is addressing.
Mm-hmm. Everything sounds great. Maybe the biggest hurdle you think is there? Besides... You know, that the players are going to have to deal with, you know, online learning and playing at the same time and everything like that. But what is like the biggest hurdle you see left in the realization of this?
From my point of view, I don't think that there is a hurdle as far as the education or the seminars. From experience, because we did other programs, similar, but obviously either with coaching or with other projects, the beginning is always the one that people are not sure, but once they come to the project, they enjoy it and they find it extremely valuable. And we are absolutely sure this program will be very valuable and it will not be too tough. It will be very beneficial to all of them because they're also learning about something that they can immediately use in their real life, which is basketball and management or leadership, etc. They will implement this immediately. I would say the biggest hurdle, potential hurdle, is to make sure that the right people that have the right motivation and potential qualifications and want to come on the course, that they actually get the opportunity to come. Because we go, it's like everything else. These are also administrative procedures, and this sometimes slows down the process. They have to learn about the project. They have to be nominated by National Federation. They have to produce one or two documents, etc. So it's one of those things. We are hoping that the federations will be proactive, will grab this opportunity, will reach out to the players, will let the interested ones come on board and apply and come to the course. And then I'm sure that once we start, they will see the benefits and there will be many others that would like to do the same thing in future.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with Radmila. I think it's, our job is to make it attractive and to motivate them, because we know how players they are. We were also players. They are a little bit lazy with this education, you know, especially with the online part, because, okay, coming to a seminar and then a 1 week with all together, this is attractive itself, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you go back home and then you have to go through all this e-learning and distance learning. This is where I think we can have some problems that they just don't follow, you know. But we are trying to link this distance learning also with some homeworks with the National Federation or clubs, so that during the winter period they will be involved in many activities also together with the National National Federation, so that it's not only going online and doing and reading the stuff. Also, they will need to do some homework. So we are trying to make it as attractive as possible so that the players don't fail. You know? And this is our job, and this is what we are trying to do, because we think this is maybe the hardest part. No?
Basically, just summarizing, it's being a famous or well-known player gets your foot on the door. But it is up to you to actually make the best of this opportunity and not embarrass yourself if you really don't have the necessary knowledge or skills and work ethic to actually show that you can be this basketball sports manager out there and you know your work. And this is the opportunity we want to give. I'm sure that they will be motivated, but I have to understand that it's not enough just to be a name without really having the knowledge. You have to also have the knowledge.
I don't know why anybody wouldn't take advantage of this, to be honest. Seriously, I mean, you're talking the best business school, basically, one of the best business schools in Europe, you know. Yeah. Support from the European Union, support from FIBA Europe, from, you know, from everywhere. And then obviously you also have the support of the National Federation, because they've selected you among of all of their others, you know. So I don't see why the national federations don't have their doors being knocked down with people who want to be involved in this, especially right now, considering it's a one-time thing as far as, you know, right now. It, you know, sounds like a wonderful program.
Yes, it is.
Mm. All right. So I guess with that, I will let you go. Radmila Turner and Elizabeth Sepran, thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Appreciate the, filling us in on the program. Good luck in the selection process. And I'm sure you're both very excited about the future of the project, as well as the future of the players who are selected and then go through it and see what kind of basketball ambassadors that they can become.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Very much.
Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to explain the details of the project. It's very helpful also for us.
Yes. Thanks for having us, Dave.
Gladly, gladly. All right. I cannot imagine any reason why any
European veteran who is sort of, you know, close to retiring, how they are not breaking down the doors of the Federation president, whatever, and saying, I want in on this program because this thing sounds fantastic. Yeah, obviously, you know, it's not for everybody. It's only available for certain a select portion of the basketball playing community. Still, it's an interesting concept, and I think, you know, you think that when you get a degree in college, the average Joe listener, you get a degree in college and you know, more or less you try to use it directly and get into your field that you studied. And that's not the case, you know, for almost all of these players who, you know, if they go to a place for higher learning, and get a degree, you know, most likely they're not, you know, they're not going into business right away. They're going to play basketball, and there's basketball is such a big part of their lives. And then, so they, their degree is basically outdated. You know, if there's any sort of technology involved in the field, and then nowadays everything is technically inspired and pushed. You know, there's so many advancements in so many different in so many departments, areas of society, and your degree might be worthless, more or less. You know, 10-year-old degree and whatever, if you have a degree. And so now this program is there to train, educate a group of fantastically lucky guys and women. Men and women to go through, and I cannot imagine that, you know, you're not going to be hearing, you know, hopefully on this podcast in 5 years, you know, me doing interviews with people who went through this program and you know, these are like the leaders of basketball, and maybe it changes the way basketball is run. Maybe it's the way, you know, who knows, you know, but I could totally imagine that some of the people who go through this program or the leaders of basketball in the future. All right, so like I said, not much time, so I'm going to cut this short now. Again, thanks for listening. Go to patreon.com, support the show, and hit me up on Twitter, join the Facebook group, Taking the Charge podcast, enjoy the hoops, loads of it. Now, you know, like I said, under 18s is going to be coming as well. So that's a little added treat this season. So without further ado, let you know what you're listening to, and then I'm getting out of here. The song's called Hollow Notes. It's by Novi Split, and it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Thank you very much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Took the test and we came out clean, and you got drunk and I got mean. Then I gave up and you did too, but we do what we had to do. Oh Caroline, you blew a fuse. I make amends, you make them too, and I realize what life to choose. I live alone, what could I do? The money went, and you did too, and I realize what life to choose. And I still feel safe. Say, I can't commit to anything, I'm way too sick. and I will sing. Be a part of anything, then I'll give up, and you will too. But we do what we have to do, to do, to do.
My name is Kamil Novak, I'm the Secretary General of FIBA Europe, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.